Yo, the Husbands Club, we are back. Happy Mother's Day, man. Get this out there. Happy Mother's Day. Shout out to all the, you know, the IHOPs, the Olive Gardens, the Red Lobsters, you know, all them gonna be sold out.
Right, right.
Them 2 hour waits, man. Shout out, you know, happy Mother's Day, man, to all the mothers out there. Spence, Grease.
Yes, sir.
SO?
Yep.
Yeah, man. Other than Easter, man, I don't know another holiday that's more
where everybody go out and eat.
Revered. Yeah.
It's odd because Father's Day don't even be like that. They want us to cook.
Man, you know what?
Barbecue. ain't going to say nothing, huh? We ain't going on that path.
Hey. Look, man.
I know I'm cooking for the wife tonight, so it's all good.
Hey, man, shit. Hey, man, this is the perfect day for fellas, man, if you're...
Did y'all give out the gifts already? Not yet?
No.
Okay, cool. I was just asking, do you do it in the morning or do you give them the gift like later on after you went to the store and got something last minute?
Hey, fellas, man, shout out to, you know, if your wife, you know, she's addicted to social media, man, just tell her to get all her energy back.
Please.
From social media. Bruh. Sit back. Sit this one out. You feel me? Mm. You feel me? This is your excuse right here. That's some toxic shit right there, man. Hey. What y'all want to do, man? I know SO last night, it was like, hey, I'm sitting here dressed.
Man, I talk about it.
Man, I talk about this, man. You know, one of our partners, man, he was doing like a mega high school reunion, man, for like the last 15 years or 10 years or whatnot. Mm. So shout out to y'all Cheyenne High School alumni.
Shout out, man. 2006, you feel me?
Yeah, I wanted to crash it. So I was like, I'm going through. So wifey was like, well, I want to go too. I'm like, all right, go ahead. Let's go. So I'm getting dressed. He's still in the bed. I take a shower, iron my clothes, iron. Niggas don't even iron no more. That's what's crazy. So I ironed a little bit, you know, just knock out the wrinkles.
Creases?
I ain't doing no creasing. I don't crease pants no more. I just stopped doing that. That's when I realized I was old. Like, man, I'm putting creases in pants. I'm looking around. Don't nobody got creases in their pants. But so I'm dressed.
Yeah.
She's still in the bed. I'm like, man, come on. I don't know what to wear. I don't know what the angle go. I'm like, man, why does this always happen? So I'm like, man, this must be a common thing when the man get dressed before the woman.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Hey, you know what, man? I feel both sides. I know when I'm dressed, it doesn't take me long to get dressed.
You don't take a shower,
you wash your ass.
Right.
You put your clothes on. Wifey, it takes her forever for no reason, I feel like.
Right? Mm.
And we always late.
I hate that. I don't want to be the late one.
Can't stand it.
Right.
Right? But, you know, you learn to adjust through marriage.
Yeah. Now,
is it an adjustment or you just deal with it?
Now, it depends. Mm-hmm. I'm that person that be the one that be just chilling.
Oh! You the late one.
Yeah, I just be chilling. Wifey up, going, moving around. I'm last minute just sitting there chilling, watching TV. You go ahead and get dressed right quick, man. Because I just feel like it don't take that long for us to get dressed. I be already in my mind putting something together.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
They be going through a process. They got to do the makeup. They got to make sure their hair is a certain way. Then they might have an outfit. They don't like that outfit. Then they want to switch up, put something else. They got to start second guessing themselves.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, just put something on and go. Like, you had the same time I had. A day in advance notice.
Don't let that makeup not be right.
Oh, that's my gosh. Hour. Then they be in the car. You driving and they in there trying to put the makeup on. Y'all be wanting to hit the brake real hard to make it.
Nah, bro, you gotta drive tenderly, man. You know, they got that thing by their
eyes. Yeah, I'll be wanting to jam one time.
Gotta drive in silence and shit so they can concentrate, man. But, I feel shit. I got both sides, man. Like I said, I'll be sitting there, man. I'll be like, I know we're gonna be late.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, I'll be in bed still. Like, because because it be exciting until the time comes.
Yeah, it sounds good in theory, but then once you start putting it in motion, you're like, man, it's taking too long.
So as a partner, do y'all know?
Yeah.
When your partner isn't feeling it.
Yeah, yeah, I do, because he'll get the I don't know what to wear or this so short notice or she hit me with the you ain't even invite me to go. You just said you was going. I'm like, what? What you mean by that? I said, I'm going here. That's an invitation for you to come.
So, and that was going to be my question.
Yeah.
Like, with the invitations, like, do we have to, as husbands, go to everything that the wife invites us to?
No.
Or vice versa? Because it seemed like, I'm just asking the question. I just want to put it on the table because it seemed like he just said right now.
Yeah.
You just said right now.
This looked like it's going to be live. I want to go. I'm going to crash the party. Talk to him. That man come through. It's all schools welcome, whatever. I tell her, all right, I think I'm going to Cheyenne Reunion. I want to go too. I ain't even invite you, but you can come. Yeah. I don't care either way, but if you dare, you dare. But then when it comes time to going, you making me late. Then you don't even go.
See, so why?
She didn't go last night?
Nah. Oh.
See, wives can switch it around, right? And they can be like, oh, this is all women's event.
Yeah.
What can you do now? Us is like, I know their wives going to be there. I know their wives going to be there. I know it's going to be, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I feel like it's more so like an obligation.
Man, fuck that. Nah. Have you ever go somewhere and you and your wife be the only one there with the wives and everybody else, like, didn't bring their wives? So now your wife just there, like, by herself?
Yes. And it is so uncomfortable.
Hella awkward.
It is so uncomfortable.
Hella awkward.
And then wife be like, I'm not coming back again.
Yo, cool.
And then I has to be right back with me. Yeah, it's very awkward. Because you can see it, man. You can't, you know, women can't hide it.
Now flip it. Have you been the only guy when she with her girlfriends? But that's weird too, a little bit. Thank God for the smart.
Once.
Uh-huh.
And I hated it.
Why? Too gossipy?
Too gossipy and then just shallow compliments just flying everywhere.
Oh God. That's, oh
my God, I can't fucking stand it.
I hate that. Ugh. Oh, you look good, bitch. Oh, bitch, you look good too. Look at you, girl. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Please stop it.
And what will be so funny? We do the same thing. Hey, look at you play. If I had your hand, I cut mine off. Look at that. Ain't knowing damn well. Yeah. Oh, hey, man, I don't want your hand.
Yeah, man, but I don't know if she's ever prevented me from. Has she ever prevented me from going anywhere, though? I don't think she's ever prevented me from going anywhere, but I have got the feeling where, like, she just be like, I'm not. And that's the bad signal for me, because right. She don't feel like going. I know I ain't going.
Right.
So I don't really be tripping. It ain't nowhere that I'm, like, really, really want to go.
Without her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You already told us you got, you know.
Oh, God. That's my partner, man.
Hey, you can't go nowhere. You're attached, man, so we get it. Now, I mean, me and my wife, we're so far, like, in our relationship, we started dating back in 97, so we're at that point now where it's just keeping it a buck. Like,
yeah.
Hey, I'm not mm-hmm. going.
Yeah.
Oh, you going over there?
Mm-hmm.
Have a good time. Yeah. That type of stuff, because you already know. But yeah. I've been in places with my wife and her friends, and it was just me. But I grew up in a house with all girls, too, so, I'm used to just being around it like that, so... But, like, you know, it'd be like that sometimes, though. I know, you know, depending on who, like, when my wife on the phone, she gets to talking. We talk to
you. Do you separate her friends? Like, do you know who and who not to?
Nah. Well, yeah, I do. But I ain't supposed to admit that. I know, but I don't supposed to admit that. But I know.
Yeah.
They all cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna sit this one out.
No comment.
Hey. We're in a little trouble.
No comment.
but what's so cold about it though? By you asking that though, right? When we was thinking about topics for today, I was gonna say, man, homeboys in your marriage, man, because I know my homeboys will. Hey, man, my wife be cussing me out about. Behind my homeboys, bro.
Does she?
Oh yeah.
I know which ones too.
Yeah.
I can imagine which ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mine. I got two homeboys. They not relationships, but they hoe bags. So if I go out with them, she get them. That's that old black church lady, right? Y'all out there hoeing, huh? I gotta hit it with the man. I ain't doing nothing. I'm good. It's funny to me because I like people watching, just to watch the dynamics, how everything just fold or break down. Yeah, so I get a kick out of that. But she say a little snarkastic comment and
hey, shout out to like I said, man. Hey, I'm almost eight. Hey, shout out to Gifted, my brother Gifted, man. My wife be over there like, nah, that R&B.
Yeah,
hey.
Hey. I don't know. I don't really got no single friends like that no more.
Ain't that crazy how they just suddenly just dwindle down as you get older and get married? You start hanging around like more married couples. It happens automatically because I was like, man, I didn't get rid of my single friends. But slowly but surely, I don't hang out with them as much. But my thing is, I got a lot of female friends, too, that are single. But she knows them, so I go out with them just to kind of, like, even it out, so to speak. But I have fun with them. So she trusts them and nothing going down. So just watching them and watch dudes try to talk to them, that's funny. Because I hear their point of view, like, it's crazy.
They don't treat you differently?
Who, my female friends?
Yeah.
No. Nah, I've been on them for a minute, for some years.
I always thought that was, like, crazy unique with bro right here, because he really had like really gas friends like that.
Yeah, like straight platonic. Like ain't straight, nobody shot they shot nothing like that.
Yeah, straight like.
Yeah.
No, like they start treating you differently
since I've been
because
married.
Because you're married. Yeah, it's kind of like
if they do, I don't notice it. And some kind of said that like they kind of like don't hang out as much as we used to, but it's understandable. Like ain't no hard feelings that like you know I try to back off a little bit because I'm still out partying and doing whatever, and I know that you're married. I'll be respectful for your marriage.
Yeah, oh that's
so,
solid.
Yeah, so they 100.
I mean, how much time are y'all supposed to spend as friends?
That between working and just being a bum, man, this is hard work.
Now I'm keeping it all the way up.
But you right though,
I'm keeping it a buck, man, because I don't be pressing the line about hanging out with you, bro, like that, man. Like,
man, some people need that camaraderie. They want to they need somebody to vent to or just hang out type
man,
shit.
That's dangerous, bro. Stay up out of that lane.
I stay out of it.
Stay out of that lane, man. Yeah. Stay out of that lane. That's dangerous, bro. That giving that advice to a female friend. Oh, come on.
I don't give them. I mean, they got to ask. I don't voluntarily just give them nothing, but y'all got it.
I stay away.
All right.
Why would you suggest?
Stay away, man. Stay away.
Oh shit.
I mean, when you giving advice to somebody in a relationship aspect and they're going through something and they're coming to you, you're starting to give them, you're starting to open up about what you would do. So now they're starting to view you in a different aspect because because that's game. When she come to you with a problem and you provide a solution that other man can't give to her.
Mm.
So you start talking about, oh, I can't pay my bills. And now you come up with a whole plan for how to help her X, Y, and Z.
Pimping?
Nah, I'm talking about just like money management. Yeah. You know, like how to, maybe you should do this and do X, Y, and Z. Because there's certain tricks with money, not like that, but that you can do to get ahead and type of things. But when you're giving advice, maybe he should take, take you out on dates over here. Like you're giving
value.
Yeah.
You think a woman could fall for someone like that?
Man.
Mm. By giving them valuable life lessons?
Depends on if their daddy raised.
I mean, that's kind of how I stay away from that. You know what I mean? That's different. Someone falling for you not because of the physical attachment, but because
the wisdom that you give them,
the man that you are, is kind of
I can see that happening.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I might be greasy, man.
But it takes two though. So like,
it don't, bro.
You might wake up one morning, you got to have two attachments.
Hey.
You get the two attachments, man.
Whoa. What are we doing here?
But I get it, though. But that's why, like I said, I'm scared of when you start stepping into that role. I feel like if anybody comes to you for advice anyways, they value how you feel and your opinion on things anyway. So that already, depending on your situation.
That's dope.
So let me ask you this question then. Are you comfortable? Are you comfortable with your wife going out on a, just whatever, we won't say a date or whatever it is with a male friend, if they had a male friend.
That I know about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we going on a date.
She got two male friends she been knowing since childhood, the brother-sister stuff. And, I kind of looked at it, but to my knowledge, ain't nothing went down. I don't trip off of that. They ain't even her type. And I don't know, that's just, I'm old and I don't care no more, or I just ain't got that sense of doubt or nothing, but I ain't never really, because whatever she do, I can do.
I stand by. shoulder to lean on becomes dick at night. And kiss my ass. Hey, look.
I get it.
Look, I'm not, you know, you can't, I can't stop my wife from ever cheating if that's what she decides to do.
You feel like you can slow down the process?
But I don't want to push her through the door either. Like, yeah.
Right. But I just leave it as free will.
Yeah. Is that an end all be all for you?
What, cheating? Yeah. Yeah. That was defined in the beginning of the relationship. Like, yo, it's whatever, whatever. But once it's cheating involved, and she said I'm too hard because she was like, if you cheated, I might would think about it depending on the situation. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nope. We're done.
What's defined as cheating?
Sex. Confiding in another person.
So is it the sex that hurts or is it the part that hurts?
The like combination of both.
Spending the time.
I think.
Like talking, getting to know that person.
I think it's the combination of both. Especially combination of both. And sex is like, all right, you didn't cross the line. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. So it's kind of like.
I think. And then I think what people do too, when they look in those scenarios, like, because I, you look at how long it took you or whatever to get with your wife and to actually go through the process and spend that time to get to know, because you know what it took to get that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then you just know that she spent that time with somebody else and you just like, damn, like, but I don't know, man. Like, it's
people going to talk. There's only two people in the world, men and women.
Yeah.
So you're going to have some friends one way or the other, but how far that friendship go, you have to determine that and put the stop on that or put a limit on that.
I see it both ways though. Because I see it to where like, I want to be able to let my wife have her friends, no matter what it is. And I, like I said, I don't be in her phone, none of that stuff. I don't police her conversations. Yeah, I don't do none of that stuff like that. But she's pretty, you know, like my wife is very respectful, like to the point where she ain't finna go hang out with no male dudes like that because been around it so long, it ain't.
Yeah,
you know, it's
over time that goes away too.
Yeah,
so.
You know, because and then at the end of the day, like you said, we going on a date. Mm-hmm. It ain't no, you know, you going out with this dude or that, like that's kind of weird, you know, for me. That's just how, like I said, my situation is because we've been together for a while. Ain't like
who does
no new friends, man. What's going on? Right.
And then, like I said, those two male friends was way before me, went to school together, all that. So she'll nail tech, so she might do their nails. Hey, man, what you doing? Let's go grab something to eat. They go grab something to eat, come back, whatever.
Yeah.
I ain't tripping off of that. But, like, it ain't no, nigga, we finna get dressed up and go to the club type shit.
I'm waiting for the question.
All right.
Hey, he said, shoulder to lean on.
Nah. Hey, look.
Because part of that could be an insecurity too. That could be flipped out as an insecurity too. I had a past relationship where that kind of happened. Like I had I was talking to a whole nother chick.
Yeah.
And I got caught up because she wound up getting, my girlfriend started getting a job at the same store that the chick I was talking to worked at. So it came back out. But then she cheated on me in retaliation. So when she cheated on me, like had sex with a dude, I'm like, you know, I got to take that on the chin. Normally I'd be like, man, we done, but I was misleading. So I took it on the chin and just tried to make it work type thing, but then it brought up an insecurity. Every time I did something, where you going? Who you going with? Who you talking to? And it was like, yeah, because you did dirt. So now you think that I'm about to get you on the get backs and do dirt myself.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case, but just being under that umbrella, I don't even want to do that.
Pandora's box is open.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
That's tough, man.
And it was worse because she did it with a white dude, man.
Oh,
man, look. That's what I think that made it worse.
Was it like the Kappa dude that be shimmying and shit?
Nah, it was like an older cat, man. Oh, it was like an older white dude, man. Damn. I ain't never seen the dude, but I was like, really?
It's cold.
Beforehand, man, there was a rap.
Yeah.
Now, it might still be a rap, but I think about it more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when you take so much time and effort to build something.
Mm-hmm.
And I could understand, like, if it was reoccurring, like, it's just
that's
it kept happening.
Yeah.
But.
A one and done, out of town, out of bounds type of thing.
Yeah, I probably would think about it. Mm-hmm. But the the way I would probably react to it would probably end up ruining it anyways.
Yeah.
Because now you're questioning everything. That's and if I can't want. Trust you,
yep.
I'm questioning everything. And then not even necessarily being insecure about it. I just don't, if I don't trust you at all, I'm questioning mm-hmm. it all. You know what I mean? But that's tough, man. That's tough.
That's the worst spot to be in, I think, because everything you do is going to be doubt. Well, you say you're going here, but you really probably going up to your chick house yeah. or whatever. I know a few relationships like that, and I'm just like, they ain't going to never trust each other.
So what do you think the biggest, what do you think leads to cheating? What do you think is the biggest, like, cause?
Silence.
Self-control.
So you said silence?
Lack of self-control.
And I, like I said, I was going to, I'm like, well, what do you mean by silence?
Normally, when you get so comfortable with each other, I think communication, right? Mm-hmm. Communication is like a vague term to me. Like, what exactly is communication? Some mm-hmm. people just think it's just outright you just talking, right? Sometimes people communicate through their actions, through little things that they do that doesn't necessarily translate into words, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like a lot of couples, when they get when they have so much time together, you expect the other you expect your partner to know how you feel,
right?
And mm-hmm. both of y'all kind of just end up suffering in silence until somebody decides to reach out or take advantage of a moment, and then that's when it just
yep
crumbles.
I was gonna I'm agree with you. That's one of the things I was going to say is communication. That's really the, mm-hmm. to me, is the biggest thing in all of it. You know, because if you learn how to just talk to your significant other, like I'm in a crazy place. My daughter's 17. She's starting to talk, date, all this mm-hmm. other stuff. So it's to have my experiences with my wife and have her understand going into her relationship to have like, hey, communicate. Talk before you go into this relationship. Let them know what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, we're gonna be exclusive. This is it. Like, you gotta let people know. Mm-hmm. That's communication. Because when you don't communicate, you said self control. Mm-hmm. I still think it start with the communication, because the self control kick in after you ain't able to communicate and get what you're trying to, you know, say to your significant other.
Right.
So I think communication is like the biggest thing that leads to cheating. And that's when that work wife, work husband, all that, because you other places talking about your house because you can't communicate with your significant other.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the biggest thing that I feel like it is, because when you love each other, but you can't talk about something that might feel negative.
Yeah.
Or you might, I don't want to put you down, you know, or, you know, that type of stuff. Yeah. You know, it'd be kind of hard. Definitely. And if it's, say it is something about sex, or say it, you know, it's a difficult, you know, topic to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, but you in that space. And that's why I say communication is big, because we got to be in a place where, like, you know, as adults,
mm-hmm.
we can have these open conversations with our significant other. Like, hey, we should do this more, or let's go out and take more trip. Like, you got to communicate, because you said silence, that's communication. But with actions, that's communication.
Yeah.
You know, because we know when our wives is mad, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a certain action you see at the house. And mm-hmm. you're like, man, you know, you already know.
I think one part of communication we'll never talk about is becoming better listeners. So we're always taught to speak it out, but we never taught to become better listeners.
Yeah.
So that's something that we have to work on a lot.
Now, what about ism, Ken?
It's a motherfucker.
Oh, my God, man. Oh, it is fucking exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I, you know what I mean? You're trying to get something out, and you're trying to say how you feel, and then it's, well, what about?
Mm-hmm.
That shit is exhausting. And mm-hmm. that could just lead to, man, you know what? It ain't even worth.
Yep.
It ain't even really worth talking about. You know what I mean?
It's a distraction.
It's these things that lead up to that big moment. It's never just
communication, though.
I'm jumping out. And
yep.
It's the little moments that, you know, because we're men, you know, we're men here. It's those little moments that we go through
mm-hmm.
that often lead up to that big. And then they be sitting back wondering, like, well, what did I do? And it's like,
right.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, one thing that I suggest to all the brothers out there listening is communicate, like, frequently. Like, no matter what it is, talk about it. You know, because if you let it boil over to something else, you know, bigger than like mm-hmm. what it was at that yeah. particular time, mm-hmm. it's going, like you said, the whatabouts is going to happen. Yep. And then you just got to get into a space where you, let's talk about everything. So you don't have that no more. So, like, you know, if there is another time that you, you know, get into it with your spouse and everything, the, well, what about, let's talk about everything right now. Yeah. You know, let's put everything on the table. Finances, this, because you, that's just the way that you got to do it. Because when we walk away from this, we got to have a clear understanding of where we're going. Because mm-hmm. I think that's the problem with a lot of people in marriages. They don't know where they're going yeah. with the marriage. It's after you get married, what do we do? Yeah. That, like, what do we build towards? Like, so what are we doing?
How, when you were with, when you were prior to getting married, how long were you with your wife?
3 years. So we got married on our 3rd year anniversary.
Three?
Which is next week, actually.
I've been with mom, but it was in high school. So I was, we got married. So, man, it was, man. So we've been married 12 years. High school, 27. Hey, man, yeah, we was, yeah. Long
time. I'll say ours was 8.
We was together 8 years
before we made that big step, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason, you know, with the conversation we having now, you know what I mean? I feel like marriage, now that I'm on the other side of the fence, I feel like marriage has been turned into a social move.
It has. Right? It's from day one, it's been like that.
You're doing it for all the wrong reasons. Hmm. But what I'm starting to see now, man, and why I feel like it takes so much time to learn, not just you, but y'all as a couple, right? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you get, if I feel like you get married, say a couple gets married a couple years in, which is cool.
Yeah.
But then they find out they're not compatible.
Right.
Mm. Not just in a, from a relationship term, like, perspective, mm-hmm. y'all not compatible financially, y'all not compatible sexually, mm-hmm. y'all not compatible from a parental side of things. Those things can fuck some shit up.
I'm witnessing that right now.
Big time.
I'm witnessing that right now. A relationship. Got married too fast and now it's panning out. It ain't compatible. And they got to figure it out. Dissolve it, one of the two, but it's
that
interesting
sucks,
watch.
Man.
Yeah, it is.
Like, because for me and a wife was together, like you said, 97. We got married 2011, like, well, my son. So we, right around that time, we wasn't always just straight through together. You see what I'm saying? So that's the misconception sometimes. You know, we had our times where we had our fights and breakups and we separating for 6-7 months at a time, and you do what you do, you know. But I think those times, too, had also taught me a lot about myself as well, and it brought a lot of value to my wife as well, too.
I remember the separation point. You was a wild boy. You was a wild boy.
Hey, I'm telling you.
Because I was the single friend that was the whole bag.
Man, and then I had, like I said, I was in that zone. Like, I ain't never been single like that. Yeah. So I'm like, let me see what's up. So I'm out just in the streets. But then I start to understand, too, just the value in who my wife was. I'm just like, yo, man, let me just, you know, let me chill out. Because it always got to that point where I'm trying to be cool.
Yeah.
And they trying to pursue relationships with me. And I'm like, man, if I want a relationship, I'm just going to go back to, you know, right. over here, man. Because I had already knew, like, that's. That's where it's at. So, yeah, for me, it was a little bit different, man. So, but yeah, man, I haven't seen too many people get married too fast, you know, because your time is your time, man. Yeah. I just think that, I have seen people. I don't know, man. I don't know if men do the marriage for that reason. I think it's more of a woman thing. I haven't seen like a man's, you know, a man, you know, I've always seen it from a woman's standpoint pressing about being married, about, you know, doing the whole wedding thing and stuff like that. So, and there's nothing wrong with that because you should want to experience that, you know, as a woman, you know, but I think more or less like, I think women might, I don't know, man, we got to ask some women because I don't know, man, because like it. We can't be biased. So
they got married out here. You know, it's Vegas. You can get married in the drive through. So they did one of them things. Maybe like it was less than 8 months they was together. Jeez. And then they got married. And I'm just watching everything just unfold. And it's just learning. They have to learn each other. And I think what they learn and the other person don't like about that person and vice versa. And it's just, it's entertainment.
Yeah, you know? It's entertainment.
They ask for our advice. We give it to them and take it how you go.
It takes a long time, man. It really takes a long time to learn somebody. And I feel like, I you know, speaking for myself, you know, this one right here, I kind of rode out until I was like, you know what? Okay. But I feel like men don't, we don't really do the work outside of loving her. You know what I mean? We don't do any work. We don't really do any work. Like when we talk about the, you know, compatibility over time.
Right.
We don't do any of that. We just feel like, well, we, because we love her and we may have, you know, children by her, we're going to, you know, we're going to marry her. But what about these other things that can often lead up to I'm miserable and now I'm getting divorced. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so we do that. We get married, we make this huge step because of love. And I don't know if that is enough today.
What, just marriage out of love?
Yeah.
No, it's not. I think it's, you're supposed to marry, I think, Sean Oates' opinion, marry out of duty. I think it's an obligation. Mm. It's a level of accountability that you have being married. And I think a lot of people don't want to have that role and have that position and have that responsibility of being married because that comes with a lot of things.
Hey. And I'm going to co-sign that because what was so crazy was around 2010, like around that time, I started reading the Bible, doing all that stuff. And then my mom always, because I've been with my wife since high school.
Yeah.
So she was, you know, staying the night. Y'all can't sleep in the same bed, like y'all unless y'all married type of stuff. So come from that upbringing. And I know, like, to be honest with you, after my wife, I'm sitting here, we had my son. And I'm sitting here like, bro, you wrong. You wrong. This wife, this woman over here, that gave you three kids. You got to do right, bro. You got to do right. And that's when the mindset actually changed for me.
You can procreate and share kids with them, but you don't want to share the last name with them.
Yeah, like, and that was kind of the thing. I said, I need to make her an honest woman, you know, because I don't want her looking at, you know, people looking at her a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, and this is just my opinion. I'm like let's just make it, you know, official. Let's just do this right. And so when we did the drive-through thing, like I said, my commitment was a little bit different walking into the marriage because I was like, the obligation and duty. I got to be this person. Now I got to be a representation of a husband and a man for my daughters and for my son. You see what I'm saying? Because everything changed now. So, like, and then, you know, trials, tribulations and stuff go throughout your marriage. That's why, you know, you just got to grow through it. But, yeah, man, like, that was for me. And my, you know, I was like walking into it like, hey, I need to make, you know, besides the love I have for my wife, it was just like, you know what? I want her to have that respect, you know, that she has a husband, you know, with a, you know, that's the father of my kids, but that's also my husband.
Yeah.
You know, get that stigma off of her, you know, because it's so many, you know, women walking around that we know with that, you know, with that, that stigma on them like that. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want her to be us engaged and she got three kids. It's like, okay, let's go ahead and just make it official.
In 2023, right? And shout out to you, y'all got old school foundation, man. They call that old money, right? In 2023, should a man make the step to get married because he feels obligated?
I say no.
No.
I'm going to say to all my black men or just men listening, the husbands, the soon-to-be husbands, don't get married until you got your stuff together, bro. Like, have your life in order. Have a direction. Like, have some real goals, something tangible that you're pursuing, that you know that you can actually build and lay a good foundation on. Just because you're in a relationship with a person and y'all in love, make sure you got your stuff together. Because, you know, because marriage is, like, it's combining things. I still talk to people now about, we had this conversation. Like, my money, me and my wife got the same bank account. You see what I'm saying? So, it ain't nothing, like, so that's a big thing for people.
Yeah.
You know? You see? It's a big trust thing. You see what I'm saying? Look, why y'all both?
Man, look. God bless. To each his own, man. To each his own.
To each his own, boy.
To each his own. That's a boy. But you're right. Be ready to take on that responsibility and that level of commitment because it's a lot that comes with it. But once you figure it out, and it's easy. once you figure it out, but it's just going through the process of learning it and understanding it and having a foundation and a rule that you both got to go by. But once you set that in stone and it's understandable on both sides, it's easy.
Yeah.
Do y'all feel like the term head of household still means the same as it once
hell
did?
Fuck yeah, dude. Especially when I file taxes. Shoot. It means a lot because, I mean, somebody have to lead, somebody have to follow.
Yeah.
The logic is the woman is over the kids, the man is over the woman, and the man is under God. So go God, husband, wife, kids, in that order. Everybody look up. Why could that be wrong?
So you're the head of the household over there?
Yeah. So I run a benevolent dictatorship.
Yeah. I'll call benevolent sis.
Big caller. And I do the 80-20 rule. 80% of the time, can have her way. But when I want my 20%, I just want my 20%.
Let me not be like my brother Flip and be petty. Trying to call. I'm going to say, it depends, man. Head of the household, I carry that role with me because I make all the decisions at the house. It's just how I go. And I take on a responsibility to that, you know, because like I said, everybody depends on me at the house. Because, you know, he don't have kids at his house.
It's a different, yeah.
So it's a different dynamic, you know, over there. So with me, it ain't to the point where what I say go. It ain't that type of like dictatorship.
They never get to that though, because she kind of makes sure everything. She the vice president, you the president.
Yeah,
ain't no two presidents, ain't no two kings.
Everybody, but like you said, I always said this too. Like I was saying, everybody know their role. Once everybody know their role, you good to go. Because that's what the head of the the head of the household is what though? What is the head of the household? Like what's considered the head of the household?
The leader that takes the final decisions on something, especially the major things. A lot of the things that she made decisions on be minor to me. I don't care about how the house look or none of that, but the bills got to get paid. I got to make sure we have a roof over our head. I got to make sure we have cars, you know, stuff like that. But if she makes a decision I don't think is right, then I step in and correct her. But for the most part, do your thing.
So as the head of household, how do you handle your wife practicing discernment and challenging you?
I gauge how big of a situation is it. If it's not that big, I don't even argue it. But if it's something big, like, I stand on it. And because most of the time I don't step in like that, she knows if I'm making an argument or push for it.
Yeah.
She kind of like, all right, I'll listen to you.
Yeah. Because most men are egotistical.
My 20%.
Most men are very egotistical, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people. You know, shout out to those that go to church, but a lot of Bible thumpers.
People are manipulate that Bible, boy.
Right?
Yeah.
From a men.
Yeah.
Right? So sometimes, you know, through my experience, and I even say myself sometimes the decisions we make are about us. I mean, about me and not us.
Mm-hmm.
Or my family, right?
Yeah.
So what happens when your wife notices this? And start pushing back on it. Because at this point, she is practicing discernment. Like, this is not a good decision for us.
I mean, if we're going to talk about it and bring the Bible in, let's just go all the way to the beginning. God talked to Adam. God didn't talk to Eve. we're going to bring religion in. Let's go all the way back.
Yeah.
God did not talk to Eve.
Amen. What I like to do too is if there's any like challenge, I'm the type of person that say, all right, we'll see.
Mm.
We'll see. Because life will show you better than I can tell you. Mm-hmm. And that's that old wisdom right there. Yeah. Because hey, I've already thought about this 10,000 times how it can go.
Yep.
And that's one of them potentials. But I
do that. Let them, figure it out.
Yeah.
And when they go through and realize it don't work, then you just.
That's my method. So that's my method. Because, mm-hmm. you know, a hard head make a soft ass, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, you thought that, you know, because it's the same way, man. I think a lot of times, man, like, I learned it that way. Yeah. Thinking that I'm out foxing and outsmarting and nah. Yeah. And like you said, like, I learned and almost lost everything. So that's why I had to make sure that nah. So when certain things come to me and there's a real pushback,
And this happened to me. I've been on stand going home on something, and she's like, okay, go ahead. And then it don't work. And then she's like, I told you.
Mm.
And I got to sit there and eat crumb. Mm,
eat that. Yep. Yeah. Got to eat that. Man, you know, the head of household thing really doesn't mean much to me these days. I'm more, from a basketball perspective, right? I'm going to put this in basketball terms. I like the Spurs, right?
Sorry to hear that.
You know, the Spurs are my boys, man. But yeah. I'm okay with being Tim Duncan. You know what I mean? I'll do the dirty work. I can be the great, but I'm more interested in having a well-oiled machine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When I'm not, what happens? Because usually what happens, man, unfortunately, is like if my hands are in everything,
mm-hmm.
and all the decisions run through me, it's the end all be all when it comes to me. Well, what happens when I'm not around? My family not prepared.
True.
That's understandable. That's understandable.
So even when I'm not around, we can be great as a family together. And when I'm around, yeah, you know, I step in, you make the decisions and the moves or whatever. But when I'm not around, I still want my family to operate. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When my wife is going through whatever kind of emergencies, I'm comfortable in knowing that I don't have to drop everything.
Right.
And go handle that. You know what I mean? The you know, babe, I had it. You know what I'm saying? I kind of flat on the freeway, but I took care of it. There was a light missing. All right. Mm-hmm. You know. As a man, you know, I'm helping and I'm doing shit around the house that they would feel that most people would feel like are womanly duties. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just whatever I got to do to keep my household just moving.
Yeah, right, right.
That's what I'm more comfortable with.
That's the head of the household. Everything's still like you're setting the environment at the house. Everything still goes by you because you know, like you said, I'm doing this. Because, like I said, with me, I'm hands-on with everything.
Yeah.
Everything that's going at the crib and stuff, like, I bring it to that attention. Like, my kids come to me all the time, and I have the same mindset that you have, to the point where I'm trying to reach more into my kids to see what they're trying to do so I can get them there. Because yeah. I know the experience that I got, you know, the expertise I got. If I'm not hands-on and I'm not trying to be – the kids going to take it at their pace. Mm-hmm. And they ain't going to go at that pace. Even with my wife, it's like now I know in order for the family to move a certain way, I got to push people this way. Hey, you got to go back to school. Hey, you doing real estate. You doing this. Because yeah. I just start to understand hanging around my other friends who were, my parents were more established. That's what they did with their kids. They pushed them in a direction. Like with us, it seemed like, I don't want to say it's black parents, but I'm just a black kid. They allow us to dream and try to figure it out. Going to Western High School, seeing some of my white friends going around them, hanging them, they already had a plan.
Yeah.
They already had a plan for their kids. Oh, you're going to be an accountant at BYU. That was it.
Yeah.
But for us, it wasn't like that. We was, right, oh, you can go be in the NBA, and you can, yeah. which is good,
yeah.
but what's the plan B? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So with me, that's kind of my approach, because I allow my kids to dream. But while they're dreaming, I'm helping them build, hey, you got to be an entrepreneur. You got to own the business. I'm helping them come up with business plans and understanding the business model or how to sell stuff, how to do these things. Because it's like, hey, what I know, that's what I can pass on to you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that type of stuff, they'll be able to pass on to my grandkids, great-grandkids, and 10 generations down is the game.
Yeah.
You know, because that's really all that can stay is the game.
Well, I mean, sometimes, man, you know, like I said, man, when you have a plan for you, you know, I get both sides of that situation, you know what I mean? When you have a plan for your kids, sometimes that's not within their universe, though. That's something that they don't want to do. And from a parent's perspective, that's kind of heartbreaking because you've done all of this to put this together, but your kid want to go left.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right now, you know, I'll have, you know, two 18-year-olds this year. I have one now. Mm-hmm. And my role has shifted again. You know what I mean? When they're little, I'm like the disciplinarian,
mm-hmm.
right? And then as they, you know, in teenage years, you kind of shift into like mentorship, right? Mm-hmm. And now I'm just watching. You know, sometimes because of social, you know, a lot of times because of social media, man, we got a lot of helicopter parenting.
Yes.
A lot. You know what I mean? And it's okay to want to have your hands in everything your kids do as they get older. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when they do get older, now they don't know how to guide themselves through life because they don't have no life lessons.
Right, true.
You know, so now I'm more with my 18-year-olds, man, I'm more so watching and I'm here for it. You know, I'm here for advice, but kind of got to be hands off these days, you know what I mean? You got to learn it.
So do you step in before the lesson? Or do you let the lesson tap them like on the butt?
Depends on how severe the lesson is. But sometimes, you know, sometimes the lesson has to be taught. I'm all here for, you know, I'm all here for wisdom. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Some things you don't need to experience to know the lesson behind it, right? But a lot of things, sometimes it's like, well, what good is the wisdom if I ain't ever experienced it? So I can sit up here and tell you, make sure your bills are paid. Make sure this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't learn that lesson until they come take your shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it depends on how severe it is. But right now I'm like watching. Because I've seen and I know, and we all know, some grown ass kids.
Amen.
And that's because their parents had their hands on them until they threw their hands up.
Yep.
Mm. They don't have no life. They don't know any life lessons. They just, the only thing adult about them is their age.
Real talk.
And that's what I'm afraid of. I don't want that to happen.
Like I said, I think too, it's the parenting approach. I'm not, you know, taking the bread out and making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for my kids and stuff like that. Like even now when it comes to cooking,
yeah.
Like with Legend, he's 12 mm-hmm. and he's coming in there. Man, hey man, you finna cook yourself, bro. Mm. Dad, can you? No, you finna come cook, and you finna come in here and do that. Same thing with my daughters. Hey, y'all finna, but like it's that type of thing. Like figure it out. They come in there with the homework. Hey man, figure it out. Don't bother me. And they come like when you get to the point where you can't figure it out,
yeah.
Then that's when you come to me. You know, and that's the point. But even yeah, like with my daughter, my 17-year-old, I try to be, I'm the same. I watch, but it's more or less too. But you know, I try to make sure I'm coaching throughout the process. Yeah, okay. You know, like I'm not just standing back and letting her just because those type of life lessons I know can be very detrimental to a person because mm-hmm. you know they can take that experience and hang on to it for that's a lifeline. A bad, you know, so if I and we. I know a bunch of, you know, just people who deal with past trauma like that from just childhood stuff. Mm-hmm. They still holding on it to today. Mm-hmm. I'm not successful because this happened to me at, man, that was 22 years ago. But they still, but that's the mentality of a lot of stuff, man, because you look at it that way, you know, you be in these bad situations, it'll stop you from being confident.
No, this is a fact.
You know?
This is a fact. You don't have any yet.
Not that I know of.
So what was how did you get your life lessons and experience through childhood up until your adult years?
I'm a hybrid. My parents divorced when I was 5, so I lived with my grandparents from 5 to 14. So I lived with my mom from 14 to 18. And then it's different because people be like, yeah, your mom raised you. She really kind of did, but didn't at the same time. Because when I got to her, I was in middle school by then. So, like, learning how to cook, I don't know how to cook. She never taught me how to cook. She was always the parent. I'm a cook for you. So then as I got grown, and ultimately I could learn if I want to, but it's like, I'm not dealing with that. She just always told me, keep some money in your pocket, you'll always eat.
Yeah.
So I think that first, and that just carries on me through life. So I'm that grown adult that don't know how to cook. I had to marry somebody that knew how to cook. My wife barbecues. I can barbecue if I get to it, but I don't want to. Yeah. I let her do it. But then I be feeling like incompetent, like, man, I can't cook for shit. But she be talking shit like, you ain't gonna never cook. And I'm like, you're right. I'm not. That's not me. But the life lessons I've learned was just work, man. You just have to work and just keep freaking money in your pocket at all times.
That's a fact.
And that's, and maybe I'm a workaholic, but then it kind of hindered me dreaming the dreams and aspirations of things I wanted to do. Mm. You know, kind of like, well, I got to pay the bills. I got to worry about my right nows. I can't worry about the dreams.
Yeah.
So it kind of pigeonholed me in a certain way. And I think because I don't have any kids, I can move a lot more freelier than a lot of other people. So when it comes to like adultinghood, I'm looking at my father. My father lives with us. I'm looking at how he is. He's one of those people that everything was given to him. He don't work to earn for himself. And I'm seeing how that's playing out with him at an older age. And my mom always just told me, don't be like that. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. And I never saw it. But now I'm witnessing it in real life. And I'm like, that's what she was talking about. So I have like a senior citizen kid with me.
Mm.
And I'm like, man, that's because he never went out to get it himself. He never went out to do it and sustain it.
Yeah.
So he's even when he won custody of me, he pawned me on his parents. So I seen my grandparents, and I think that's probably one of the reasons I have a certain level of respect for marriage. They were married for 50 years. So I was raised in two-parent home. Plus, they're the silent generation in Alabama. It was born in the 1920s in Alabama. So the whole black first thing and all of that,
yeah.
family structure and all that, that really holds a value to me. Mm. And I think it's different on the West because we don't see a lot of that.
Yeah.
Now there's a younger generation. They rarely see like a black loving family. A lot of them weren't raised in that household. So how can they have an idea of that if they don't see it?
This is a fact.
That's what he said, though. My parents are still married. Like, so, like,
one or two friends I got whose
parents still married. Like, yeah. You know, 40 years. So that's where I come from. So with my mom raising me, it was totally different. Like, she raised me to not depend on a woman. So that was kind of how, like, you know, I know how to cook, wash clothes. Like you said, all this stuff that you be saying, like, oh, nah, it was. But then as I got older, too, I was happy that my mom did that because it was just the necessity in living and being a clean individual and that type of stuff, because she just raised me to be a clean, respectable young man by instilling these type of things and how to cook, take the trash out, clean your room, make your bed, do like the different stuff like that you carry on to adulthood that creates successful habits. Because a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't get up and make their bed in the morning today. That's why a lot of people, you know, it's the small stuff that create
you
know
too?
These habits. Look,
yeah, I'm not,
you see what I'm saying?
Bed yeah, anymore.
But it go on that though. But yeah. You know, it's a mindset too. You know, so and like I said, me for when I grow up, I just want to be able to pass that. Same thing with my son. It's just like he ain't listening though.
Yeah.
So it's just like, and that's the one thing I'm seeing now. Like my wife got to talk to him because it's just like I'm not getting through to my son. But my wife say something to him.
Yeah.
He get up and get it done right away. Get up and get that room. I could.
Yeah.
She come in there, get this room. He ain't about to cry. I'm like, okay. So I got to figure out. So now with my wife, I got to kind of coach her on what to tell him about certain things. Yeah. Because, you know, when I tell him some stuff, it come off a certain way. Because, you know, like it just, that's why I would say it's that man stuff, like man to man.
At
like
a household, you delegate tasks.
Yeah, I'm a straight fact shooter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't play games with my kids. They come and
that's a fact.
Was your homework supposed to be done at this time? You knew about it? I don't want to hear it. Lead the excuses, because that's what they tell you at your job.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're going to tell you at your job, right? That's what they're going to tell you when your bills and the light get cut off. You can't call them with no excuse and say, nah, you can't.
Yeah, see, I want to shout out to you, your marriage, you know, and that's the one thing, you know, with my mom and dad, man. My mom and dad was married for a long time, but that was the one thing that was, I did notice, like, you know, normally with kids, you know, if the marriage or relationship isn't solid, it's easier for the kids to manipulate a situation, you know what I mean? And sometimes, like, you know, the dad is the straight shooter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know what? So I can finagle this a little bit, so I can finesse this a little bit, I'm going to go to mom's.
Yep.
And so it becomes almost like a good cop, bad cop situation. Well, I'm going to go to her because I know this is going to be a nicer situation.
Mm-hmm.
With my parents, we couldn't do that.
You know why?
They were too solid.
Communication.
They were too solid. Yep. You know
my kids,
I mean?
My kids can't play that with us either. You know, and I think a lot of times too, communication. And when my wife, that's the only time we be tripping, is when my wife withholds something from me about the kids.
Mm.
And then they come out.
Yeah.
And then that's when I have a problem, you know. And, you know.
You have any siblings?
Yeah, I got two sisters and a brother.
The youngest one, did they get a little bit more leeway towards the youngest one? Or were they more stricter on you because you were the oldest?
They had to get leeway, man. They're dealing with Spitz, man. Like,
I want to say I leeway from an op, from the opposite perspective. Like, you know, my pops was always like, "I'm here for you." Mm-hmm. But if you can't do, if you don't want to do right, you don't have to be here. And I took that literally. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you leave the house when you out there by yourself. You know, of course, you know, you go to, you got family and you go from house to house, shit like that. Mm-hmm. When you out there by yourself, you start to understand real fast how fucking serious mm-hmm. life can get real quick. Fast. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. With my siblings, it was more, they got a different version of my parents. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so my parents were more hands-on with them. But okay. They don't have the independence that I have,
gotcha.
I'd say. So I think a nice, healthy balance is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to, I feel like if you're too hands-on, you're not letting them see enough.
And when they're on their own.
It get ugly fast.
I just think it depends on the person, man. Like, because I come from a family of five. So, and four sisters, and everybody different. You know, like you say, even with my youngest sister, like, she's growing and doing what she, but that's her pace. You know, that's the pace that she, that some people just grow at. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Like, for me, when I was out, I was just out with my friends doing what I was doing, you know, but what actually helped me mature was when I got to high school, being in, you know, M5s and
that's
you know, all that. So when I got there, I started doing vice president work, starting learning how to do fundraisers, learn how to throw like events and, you know, order all this stuff. So it prepared me for where I'm at today,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it was just the young independence thing. That was just because of who I was around, you know, just the kind of people I was around, because your friends and everything else have an influence on you, because mm-hmm. I'm hanging out with him. He's an entrepreneur. He's a hustler. You know, all my friends are hustlers like that. So we just come from that part. Like, I don't want my parents are working for it, but we finna shoot dice. We finna piece up. We finna do something, mm-hmm. you know, to figure it out. So just think it depends on the person, man, because you can see two households, and you can see one successful person, and then one person just ain't nothing.
Or you can see one household, and six people come out the same household, and all six of them move different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Before we get up out of here real quick,
mm-hmm.
do y'all remember the age you were when your parents became the least influential in your universe?
For my dad, I was 15. My mom, when she came back from prison.
How old were you then?
She went in, I graduated high school, she went in like 30 days after that. She did a year and a half, so I was about 19 going on maybe 20.
Okay.
And just watching her try to regroup life after that. And I've already in school, working, promoted management, some more stuff. And we were just moving different. So everything she was telling me was, it wasn't clicking because the results was different.
Agree?
I've been that way my whole life, man. I've been a results person, man. Because I've been that way with my parents, man. And to a fault, it just depends on how you look at it. Because my mom, she always pushed me to graduate from college. And I was like, you ain't graduate. You ain't go to college. Like, how you gonna push me to do something? Yeah. But sometimes they be right with what they be doing. Like you said, it might not click, but it do make sense because today, you know, certain barriers, you know, that if I did just finish and get my degree when I was in college, you know, I feel like you can feel like you can be a lot further. But I don't know, man, that the streets had influenced my friends influenced me early, bro. So like my mom then was telling me not to do something and I was doing the opposite. So and I think that was just growing up on the West Side, man. You know, but I knew what not to do, not to get killed by my parents. Yeah.
That's a fact. That's a fact. But I even for me, man, it was early. It was early where, my parents didn't, the influence. You know, you don't want to get in trouble. You don't want to be on, you know what I mean? You kind of, I want to say, feared the, like, I hate being on restriction. I ain't getting in trouble, man. I ain't want to get no whooping, shit like that. But as far as influence and what they could, you know, what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad was, you know, when my dad got out of prison, he was real, like, Furious Styles. Like,
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so it didn't, what he used to, we used to have long talks. Well, he used to talk to me.
Did he turn Muslim in there?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah, hell no. My dad's whole family of Jehovah's Witnesses. But, you know, the talks that he used to have with me, I still hold them dear to my heart. Now, right. I didn't understand it then. I was in, like, middle school.
Yeah.
Middle school and shit like that, right? But as far as pure influence, that was out early. It was more so, man, you know, again, you know, coming from how we grew up, I was always outside. I was always gone. Mm-hmm. I wasn't one that was underneath my parents like that. You know, I stopped asking shit from my parents at an early age, you know, a young age. So, yeah, I want to say probably middle school going into high school.
So what was the influence then if it wasn't your parents? Music?
Music, neighborhood, friends.
Women? Girls? At that
time? Oh, my God.
They influence you to get that tongue ring?
You gotta relax. Yeah. You know, I never had the talk. The women thing, we never had to talk about women. So when I turned, you know, of course you know about sex, you know all of those things, but when I became an NFI is when.
Yeah.
You
had to. Oh, man. Like I said, bro. I lost my parents' influence early. Just being around certain things in my neighborhood, like older kids seeing it, but like sixth grade Gibson, oh, it was popping, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was, anything that they told me was in and out there. But like he was saying, though, one of those influences was, like, big for us in middle school was music. Mm-hmm. And that music, when you listen to the Dog Pound, Ain't No Fun If the Homies Can't Have None, all the, oh, bro, and you think, cause that's where the influence, because you seeing them, like, that's the cool people.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. Like, your parents, they was just working a regular job. That wasn't cool.
That's why I say, man, you know, the influence today, you know, you got the Rod Ways, the NBA Young Boys, like.
Social media.
Yeah.
You know, so I really feel, you know, of course, you know, we all, we want to be there. And, you know, we don't want our kids to, you know, follow the footsteps we in. But I still remember, like, you know, we could do as much as we can. But at the end of the day, you know. Shit, this was a good one, man.
Yeah,
this was a good one, man. Yeah. Hey, next week, we up out of here. Peace.